I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is TCS Plus, the business technology show from Tech Central, which is brought to you today by OpenServe, the telecommunications infrastructure provider and subsidiary of Telkom Group. Now, we have a series of interviews lined up with OpenServe in the next little while, so I'm looking forward to delving into the business in greater detail. So if it sounds interesting to you, please do subscribe to the show. You can do that on YouTube at youtube.com/TechCentral, or simply search Tech Central, one word, in your favorite podcasting app, hit the subscribe button, and you'll never miss another show from the publication. Now, to kick off this series, I'm thrilled to welcome OpenServe Chief Commercial Officer Pilar Dube into the studio. Pilar has been with Telkom in various roles for more than 20 years now. As Chief Commercial Officer of OpenServe, he oversees the company's market-facing activities, and these include business development, commercial economics, commercial operations, and marketing and communications. Pilar, welcome to Tech Central. Thanks for making the time.
Thanks, Duncan, and thanks to your listeners, and thanks for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure. So, Pilar, you've been at Telkom for more than two decades. You must have seen considerable change in the organization in that period. What have been some of the highlights for you?
Yeah, I think for me, it's probably not just been the change in the organization, also even in the sector itself. You know, some of the highlights would have been the listing of Telkom, the unbundling of the Vodacom in that journey.
Yes.
Telkom owned 50% of Vodacom at some point. There's been many changes. I mean, even in the market itself, the introduction of the many operators, competitors, and the space that we play in. And also just seeing Telkom and OpenServe just advancing the way that we had over the last couple of years. I think it's been fascinating for us just looking back.
Yeah. And it's OpenServe has, of course, been through big changes itself over that period of time. There was the effective unbundling. I don't know if that's the right term, but OpenServe has been corporatized. It's now a subsidiary of Telkom, where it was very much a division of Telkom previously. So now it's got its own P&L lines, I presume. It's run as a separate entity, as a business. Tell me a bit about the OpenServe of today and what your role is as Chief Commercial Officer.
Yeah, so OpenServe is basically the connectivity provider in the South African market. So in that separation and the forming of OpenServe as an infrastructure, a network infrastructure provider for the Telkom Group, we then moved all the infrastructure assets of Telkom into OpenServe, and then OpenServe runs as a separate entity with its own board, its own exco. But we provide the services also to Telkom channels like Telkom Retail, PCX, and all the other external channels like MWeb, or whether it's AfriHost or those other ones.
And you're expected to treat Telkom and MWeb and everyone else with the same, to give them the same attention.
Believe me, I do. So
you do. Okay.
Unfortunately, for me, each one of them accuses me of treating the other one, giving the other one preferential treatment.
Oh, does that still go on? Channel, okay.
Still happens. I mean, so internal channels think they're not getting being advantaged, and external channels also believe that we're giving the internal channels advantage, and that's not happening. We actually treat everyone at arm's length.
Sure.
We deal at arm's length with each of our channel partners. My role, obviously, is just to make sure that I commercialize the investments that we've actually made in the business in terms of fiber and network infrastructure, create value propositions, and communicate those value propositions also to our markets. So hence, business development, product lifecycle management, and marketing and comms as well. So we also do commercial operations as well. So all back office operations, pricing and costing of products. So it's the whole suite of portfolio that's just purely about commercializing the infrastructure that we have. Yeah.
You joke about the ISPs and Telkom and playing off each other, but I mean, I imagine the market is very much happier with the arrangement as it exists now compared to what it was 10 or 15 years ago.
Definitely. In fact, if you look at our, I think it's something we do publish as well. So if you look at where in the fiber space, in the ISP space, most of our business now in OpenServe from a broadband perspective comes from other channels other than Telkom.
Right.
I think about 65% of it, yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's quite significant. Yeah. So what is, describe OpenServe for me. I think consumers think of OpenServe, they probably think fiber first of all, but they probably also think mobile and wireless infrastructure. But OpenServe is much more than that. Just paint me a quick picture of what OpenServe looks like today. What is it you offer to the market?
Okay. No, so if you just look, if one just looks at OpenServe, so we provide connectivity to various segments in the market that we operate in. We have structured ourselves into three broad portfolios. So we've got the mass market portfolio, which looks after consumer and small and medium businesses. Mm-hmm. And then we have the enterprise and public sector looking after, you know, the businesses, sure. Medium to large businesses, and as well as the public sector. And then we've got Career and Global, because mm-hmm. we also have a lot of customers in Career. Now, business is split kind of like a third each. I think that's something I think the market usually doesn't appreciate. It's much easier for people just want to compare us with just one F&O because they provide broadband to the home. But actually, we're much larger than that. Mm-hmm. It's a third of each of those three businesses, I think, for us. Yeah. So we provide value propositions that fit that type of market. And that's mm-hmm. why we split that way. So that because we can't have something generic that suits everyone. Businesses demand things that are different. Mm-hmm. You know, so from your normal residential broadband customers and your mm-hmm. carrier customers buy for consumption, not for resale, for an example. You know, so they need to be treated in a specific way as well. So.
One thing that I think people don't realize is the extent of the fiber infrastructure that OpenServe actually operates. Mm. Everyone thinks, as you mentioned, of fiber to the home, yeah. maybe some fiber to the business as well. Yeah. But you've actually got over 100,000 kilometers of fiber connecting even the smallest towns in South Africa. Yeah. I mean, a lot of that's legacy infrastructure that's been put in, but you maintain it, you develop it, et cetera, et cetera. How important is that infrastructure to South Africa's economy?
It is very important. I mean, it's actually, like you say, more than 100,000, but let me say 170,000 kilometers of fiber.
Now.
Yeah,
wow.
170,000 mm-hmm. kilometers of fiber that we have nationally. That's very important. I think if one thinks about connectivity in South Africa, you cannot think about connectivity without OpenServe, by the way. So I think almost everyone in this country, even other carriers in the South African market, I think they are in the connected somehow. And all our core network, there's very little of legacy infrastructure that remains in our network. Almost everything in the core and aggregation is fiber now. So where there still remains that little bit of legacy infrastructure is on the access side, and that's mm-hmm. what we're working to replace. That's mostly what we're working to replace, but mostly we've fiberized almost the entire network. Mm-hmm. We provide the services to carriers. I mean, you speak about mobile now, so mobile operators, they also buy backhaul from us to connect the base stations. Mm-hmm. You've got businesses connecting their branches and that they do MPLS or point-to-point or going to cloud. Then you've got fiber to the home. You've got small businesses also operating. So we play in the entire spectrum of connectivity, really. So we're not just fiber as well. So when one thinks about capabilities, that's it within OpenServe. Of course, we're about connectivity. So we're not defining ourselves from using technology. We define ourselves using what we do, which is connectivity. So we've got fiber. We connect with microwave. Obviously, I mean, we still doing copper in those days, we do mm-hmm. copper, but we don't do much of copper. We also got satellite in the toolbox, so there could be some areas that are hard to reach, you know, so we would reach them with other technologies as well.
And what about the mobile network? Is that also maintained and built by OpenServe?
No, the entire backhaul in the mobile network is with OpenServe, but the RAN equipment and the mobile network sits with Telkom Consumer. So it's inside Consumer, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So the RAN sits there, but the backhaul sits with OpenServe. Yes.
Understood. Yeah. And then, of course, OpenServe, as I understand it, is a big investor in undersea cables as well. Which are some of the systems that you're invested in that connect South Africa to the world?
We're on WECS. We are on EASY. We are on SET3. And most of those, we actually operate them as well in South Africa because we've got three landing stations.
Yeah.
In Tanzini, we've got Azafontein, Cape Town, we've got Melkbosrand. We also have a fiber pay on Equiano as well. So
Invested
in Equiano. That's a partnership that we had with Google. We provide them with terrestrial connectivity, and they provide us with the fiber pay on undersea. And we also have capacity in other cables as well, so that we are not directly invested in. Because for us, it's about not just connecting connecting South Africans locally, but it's also to connect them globally as well. So I mean, South Africa needs to be connected to the world, and the world needs to be connected to South Africa as well. So we provide that connectivity.
Okay. Now, OpenServe operates on a model that you describe as BBC. We're not talking about the British broadcasting, rather business to business to consumer. What are the upsides of that model, and what are the pitfalls of that model?
It's really an exciting model, because it's business to business to consumer. So it's an exciting model in that because we're a wholesaler and we unapologetically wholesale. I think it's OpenServe. So we go to market via channels, except for those that buy for consumption, but we go to market via channels. So there isn't a direct relationship between OpenServe and the end users, mm-hmm. even if they own our infrastructure, because our channel partners, I think, own those relationships with the customers. The upsides of it is that it gives you a broader diversity of businesses that can take your infrastructure to market. I mean, whether one thinks about system integrators, or you think about ISPs, or you think about mobile operators, you think about other carriers as well that want to buy backhaul, everyone can leverage of the investment on infrastructure that we have made. So that's the huge benefit of it. And then it also excites competition, because, I mean, then they all have to compete for these customers. And I think the other part of it that we probably kind of like maybe not really talk a lot about, but it's the fact that it contributes significantly to the entrepreneurial development in the country. That means if you wanted to run a business in the space of connectivity, you can actually use our infrastructure. So those are really the opportunities that it creates and the benefits that it creates for us as OpenServe. I mean, it gives us also the reach in terms of footprint, because some of our channel partners are where we would never have been as OpenServe ourselves. Otherwise, we have to change the structure of the organization if you really wanted to go to all of those. So broadly, those are the opportunities. Does it have its own pitfalls? Yes, it does. You know, so some of the challenges, but it's things that we can always work around and work on. So some of the challenges that you get to have, for example, is that our channel partners are not entities of OpenServe. These are independent businesses.
Yet they're kind of representing.
Yeah, they've got their own strategies and their own plans. I mean, they don't want to sell to this type of customers, or they want to sell to those ones. The way they package their products, you know, they've already done their own market definitions. So as we invest in infrastructure, we always need to make sure that we align with our channel partners to make sure that once we've invested, someone is going to be able to take those services up and push them through to the market.
Right.
So hence we're always also making sure that we are developing and enhancing our channels, developing if where we can develop other channels, or enhancing and complementing the existing channels, we actually do that as well. So,
So do you engage quite actively with your ISP partners? How closely do you work with an ISP, for example, in delivering services to that end user?
Very, very close. We take a lot of inputs actually also from them around what the market requires. Because like I said earlier, I mean, we don't deal with the end users directly. So that relationship mainly is with the ISPs in that case. So they know a lot more about what the customers are expecting. So we get a lot of input, and also helping us go the right direction around where we actually have to roll out the fiber infrastructure. So we don't just go anywhere. So, you know, we say we are demand-led. I mean, they're also closer to that demand, you know, so they would need, they will then be able to direct us in terms of where we need to go and roll out. So we're pretty close. I mean, I look after business development and relationship management in OpenServe. So I do get to meet the ISPs quite a lot as well, and our customers quite a lot. And I've got a team also that does that.
Yeah. Okay. I know at your financial results, Serame Tokobong often talks about the attachment rate of fiber and OpenServe and how that's the market leading position that you're in. I forget the exact figure. I think it's over 50%, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's 48 to 49.
About 48, 49.
Yeah.
But that's pretty good in this market, where I think the average is probably sitting around 30-35%. And you do that through demand analysis, working with the ISPs to determine where the take-up is likely to be?
Yeah, so by the way, it's around 35% in the whole market if you include OpenServe. If you exclude OpenServe, it's even lower, you know. So we've really done well, I think, in that it's the way we've approached it in the market, because we've followed where the customers are. It's been demand-led. We've been wanting to connect our customers rather than just roll out infrastructure. And the other thing I think that's been quite a big differentiator for us has been not just the value propositions that we've put out in the market, but just the network experience. Mm-hmm. You know, so the customers need, once they're connected on our network, we want them to stay connected. We don't want, there shouldn't be a time when then they are not connected. And we therefore make sure that the support also works well. Mm-hmm. You know, so when the service goes down, we're able to quickly respond to those issues that the customers have.
I'd like to spend a moment talking about open access. Telkom wasn't always in favor of open access. It changed its tune some years ago now, actually quite a long time ago now. And the company now has open access religion, if I can call it that. You are very much committed to the open access model. First of all, what is open access for those who don't understand the concept or haven't heard of it before? And secondly, why is open source so in favor of it?
Okay. So, yeah, so open access, like you say, I mean, historically, we must just also remember Telkom used to be a single entity with the wholesale and retail businesses. So everything that the wholesale and the network and infrastructure business did was just to serve the needs of the of the retail businesses. So the separation of open access, of OpenServe, in fact, has been mostly also just to pronounce that open access thing that we have now, so that we actually just want to drive it on open access. What it means is everyone should be able to have access to the infrastructure that we've rolled out and advance their own business and their own interests. You know, so we can't invest and then close others out. And we've seen that's part of the reasons why OpenServe has been so successful in the market, because we've got everyone who can actually take advantage of the infrastructure that we've rolled out and offer their own services and innovate on top of it as well. So because innovation, you know, I always think about this, that connectivity is the most underrated and understated component of innovation. You know, so when you just think about this podcast we're having here today,
it's the base layer of
base
everything.
Layer of it, but nobody talks about it. You know, so every digital innovation has an assumption around connectivity. So as OpenServe, that's what we exist for. So open access enables that. So because then anyone can have actually access in that infrastructure. We've made it a point that we don't compete with our channel partners as well. So we don't have our own channels. So because we want to enable them, we want them to succeed. Our success is dependent on our channel partners succeeding. So we also therefore need to enable them and make sure that we put out in the market what is right out there. They're much closer to it. They can innovate. They can develop their own solutions around our infrastructure, and they can serve the market whichever way that they want to serve without the restrictions of us being a closed network. And also, by the way, so if you're a closed network, you then also have kind of like limited your chances of being out there in the market, because then only one channel can be there out there for you.
So it's good for OpenServe, it's good for Telkom, and it's good for the industry.
Yes, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
definitely,
okay. Yeah. Now, I wanted to touch on, you've got something that you describe as your connect-led strategy. Tell me a bit more about that and its significance to OpenServe. Yeah.
I think earlier you just touched on our connectivity rate sitting at 48, between 48 and 49%. That's also the result of this connect-led strategy. What we're saying is when we roll out infrastructure, we're following demand. We're going to where the customers are. Secondly, we want to leave the customers that are in that area or the premises that we pass, we want to leave them connected. In fact, what we've even done, we started as a campaign and we finally just implemented as our go-to-market approach is what we call try before you buy. So wherever we go to areas and roll out fiber infrastructure, we connect a customer for free and we leave them with a free internet for 30 days whilst they're still going to have to decide who the ISP is going to be for no charge. We just want to make sure that we've connected those premises and the customers have access to infrastructure. Because the other thing is also people have to experience fiber. You know, fiber is very... it still needs to reach the point where people just understand it as a service, because otherwise people just think of it as a very technical thing and, you know, so intimidating when you say someone with fiber. But once people have experienced it, they will know what it is. I mean, so super high speed, scalability, low latency, you know, so that's what the customers need to have. Once they've experienced it, then they would want to stay connected. So that's what so when we talk about connect-led strategies, we follow demand. We want to connect our customers when we leave. We want to leave them connected. We don't want to just roll out and then walk away and think we can come back later and sell. So when give the customers the opportunity to experience fiber as well, so that they actually can stay connected.
Yeah, yeah. And fiber, of course, is a lot more reliable. I remember the days of DSL. And my line was going down often. Today I have fiber and it's rock solid.
Less prone to weather, inclement weather issues and all of that. Fiber breaks, if they happen, it's just once in a while. But copper, I mean, copper theft and all of that, I mean, fiber is much better. I mean, our fault rate, if we just look at our network now, so our fault rate is like super, super low because, I mean, it's mostly on fiber.
Yeah.
When it was still copper days, I mean, it was quite high, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Just lastly, as Chief Commercial Officer of OpenServe, what are your key focus areas going forward? What are your key priorities for the next couple of years?
For the next couple of years, we are looking at what are the evolving needs of the market. We continue to evolve our value proposition. We've done a lot around pricing, I think, in the market. I mean, as you'd know, customers are continuously demanding more for the same, in fact, more for less, not even the same, you know, so they're demanding more for less. A lot of content is being produced. There's a lot of value-add services that are coming up and innovation that demands a lot of bandwidth and data. And so customers are using more and more and more of the of connectivity services. And yet, because we're a connectivity provider, it's that layer that, like I was saying earlier, it's kind of like unseen, you know, so connectivity is kind of like unseen. So we just want to bring that up, and we also want to look at opportunities. How can we play as OpenServe just above that pure connectivity layer so that it's actually visible to our customers what it is that connectivity provides to them? We have come up with quite a lot of innovative solutions as well, just to make it easy for our channel partners, providing end-to-end products and services. Because in the current world, you know, so where the ISPs work is they buy a fiber line, then they add their own internet and whatever value added service, and they sell that. But that means that you have to have your own technical capabilities, your own processes and things and systems that they actually do have and support. We want to take away also all of that and be able to provide an end-to-end solution so that our channel partners can focus on what they do best, you know, so which is serving their customers. So for us as OpenServe, we also want to focus mostly on rolling out our infrastructure and making sure that it's available to as many South Africans as possible. Obviously, with the availability of CAPEX, and because that also still plays a big role.
Got to watch the money. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So you got to watch the money. I used to be in finance. I spent most of my earlier years in finance. So, right. So for me, it's always in my head as well. So we need to make money out of these as well. So, so our focus, I think, over the next couple of years is just to look at what are the other opportunities that are available for us as OpenServe. How is the market evolving from a technology perspective? How are our users also evolving? I'm always driving a point within the commercial team that we need to be kind of outward focused, not inward focused. Let's look at how do customers experience our services. Can we design things that can meet their needs? You know, so it shouldn't just be about us, what we want, but it's also what do they want out there.
Excellent. Well, these have been fascinating insights into the workings of OpenServe. I think our audience will have found this fascinating. Pilar Dube is Chief Commercial Officer at OpenServe. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with the Tech Central audience today. I'm much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Duncan. And thanks for having me. And thanks also to your audience. And thanks for listening. Yeah.